Good afternoon. This is Dave McManus. I am the student pastor at Berean Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Getting on to talk about a news article that I came across yesterday. Some of you may be familiar with it, but it is about a speaker, a author, a journalist, a blogger by the name of Dan Savage. Dan Savage is termed as a hero of the LGBT community. He is big on anti-bullying, which I would absolutely agree with. He is mainly focused on anti-bullying because of sexual orientation, which again, I am fully behind him on. Would never be in support of any type of bullying. This is in reference to an event that he did the other day in California. This is in reference to an article on FoxNews.com. It's actually a commentary on FoxNews.com by Todd Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, Todd Starnes. And it says, Christian teens say gay activists made girls cry. So he is giving a commentary on the events that actually happened. If you you can find plenty of details from many different perspectives if you get out and look for it on the internet. But basically what happened was this Savage had been invited to speak to several thousand high school journalism students. So this is specifically about journalism. They're attending a national conference. It was hosted by the National Scholastic Press Association and the Journalism Education Association. And the young man that is interviewed in the article by Mr. Starnes is named Jake Naaman. Naaman is a yearbook photographer at Arrowhead Christian Academy in Redlands, California. And he thought that Savage was going to talk about his anti-bullying campaign, but it soon morphed into something different. Just to give you an idea of who this Dan Savage is, if you are not aware, he is making more and more of a name for himself. He has the one reason why I really wanted to do the commentary is because he has a show that just came out, and it is broadcast on MTV. It's called Savage U, so it's something parents need to be aware of that your children could have access to right there on MTV. And on Savage U, this Dan Savage travels around to different universities around the country and gives talks and talks to students about sexual issues. And these are not obviously biblical versions of sexual identity or sexual practices. Just to give you an idea, he talks about promiscuity. He sanctions that. He talks about friends with benefits. He talks about different things like that. And I've noticed if you look at the list of schools that he has visited, he makes it a point to visit schools in what he calls the Bible Belt. He's been to East Carolina. He's been to Auburn. He's also been to Ohio State, among others. But he makes a special point of going out of his way to say that, oh, we went to this school in the Bible Belt. So he has obviously got an agenda here to attack a certain ideology. A little bit about Savage's background. He's raised in a Catholic home, went to Catholic school, and he goes off to university, Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and obviously gets caught up in a lot of different kinds of things. And he moves on. He becomes a journalist. He writes columns. You know, and most of his agenda from the beginning has always been the LGBT movement, specifically the gay and lesbian movement. He is very active in media. He's a real-time, real reporter for Bill Maher. Some of you are probably familiar with him on his HBO Real Time with Bill Maher show. He's made multiple appearances on MSNBC's Countdown with Keep Olbermann, which has actually been canceled, and CNN's Anderson Cooper 360. He discusses these LGBT political issues, as he terms it, with same-sex marriage, don't ask, don't tell, those kinds of things. And last year he started what was called the It Gets Better Project, which is an anti-bullying campaign, specifically bullying that is done in reference to someone's sexual orientation. As of January 3rd, 2011, the project has over 5,000 user-created testimonials on his site. So there are many, many people that are following this man that care about what he says. Just to give you an idea of some of the work that he's done, he has published a couple books. 1999, he published a book called The Kid, What Happened After My Boyfriend and I Decided to Go Get Pregnant. And in 2003, he published a book called Skipping Towards Gomorrah, The Seven Deadly Sins and the Pursuit of Happiness in America. So I think that gives you a pretty good, accurate idea of where he is coming from as he gives us this message. So back to the matter at hand. Remember, Savage is at this journalism conference, thousands of high school students in attendance, and this is how he begins his talk to these high school students at a journalism conference. He says, "I hope you're all using birth control." From there, this is in the article, he regaled the young people with stories about his husband, describing how he looked in a Speedo. At one point, Savage imagined what it would be like with his husband on stage, telling the kids that they would have to pry him off his partner. So this is what this man is beginning with at a journalism conference. And it talks about how this young man, Jake Naaman, who is the young Christian man in the article, began to get very uncomfortable. He says there were more lewd comments, more profane words, more innuendo. And then all of a sudden, Savage changes his tone, and he says, "The Bible." And that's followed by a very long pause. And Naaman says he knew it was about to get ugly at that point. And this is what Savage says. He says, Naaman says, "The very second he said the Bible and paused, I knew it was going to get ugly. It was about to be bashing." And this is what Savage says. He says, "We can learn to ignore the expletive in the Bible about gay people the same way we have learned to ignore the expletive in the Bible about shellfish, about slavery, about dinner, about farming, about menstruation, about virginity, about masturbation. We ignore expletive in the Bible about all sorts of things." So he, you know, in our circles, obviously he is committing blasphemy at this point, but just the practical side of cursing and using lewd remarks to teens in the audience is enough to probably push your common person over the edge. And obviously he has a skewed understanding of what this Bible is all about. And at that point, if you watch the video online, you will see that many, many students get up and walk out. Many Christian students get up and leave because, you know, they weren't going to be subjected to all that stuff. And this young man in the article is one of them that does that. It says, passing by hundreds of other students who were cheering the anti-bullying advocates' profanity-laced rant. So we've got a very positive reception here. Obviously, we are in a postmodern world that loves this Bible-bashing, pro-gay agenda in a lot of ways, because that's what our public school students are being spoon-fed every day. But you do see a lot of people walking out. He says, "I felt like in my heart I couldn't just stay there at all." He said, "It was really weird feeling. I just had to get out. I didn't want to cause a scene, but I really couldn't stand to be in that room anymore." And Jake Naaman, the young man in the article, says he felt bullied. So isn't it ironic that we have an anti-bullying advocate blatantly bullying these teens that were in his audience? Very courageous man to stand up on a podium and berate teenagers about their faith. Naaman says, "If Dan Savage had gotten up there and said, 'God hates homosexuals and they're all going to hell,' there would have been a huge outrage from that crowd and the media, for that matter." He said, "As Christians, we get the other side of that. When our faith is attacked like that, we're ridiculed for taking a stand against it." Naaman thought he was the only person who walked out, but when he got to the lobby, he learned that was far from the case. Arrowhead's entire yearbook staff followed his lead, including his 16-year-old sister. So good for Arrowhead Christian Academy in California. And so we've got a lot of accounts from all the different people that were hurt by this whole thing. He said he was completely insulting and degrading to our faith. He had a position of power as a speaker. He's using that against a group of students who had never done anything to him. I consider that bullying. And so you can go online and listen to Dan Savage's presentation if you feel so inclined. You can listen to the insults and the degradation that he has. Two things to close with before I kind of give you my scriptural view on this. The Journalism Education Association and the National Scholastic Press Association came out with an apology, or a, maybe we put apology in quotation marks, but this is what they said. "We appreciate the level of thoughtfulness and deliberation regarding Dan Savage's keynote address," the NSPA wrote. "Some audience members who felt hurt by his words and tone decided to leave in the middle of his speech, and to this we want to make our point very clear. While as a journalist it's important to be able to listen to speech that offends you, these students and advisors had simply reached their tolerance level for what they were willing to hear." The NSPA said they did not have a prior transcript of Savage's speech. Of course they didn't. Why would they ask for a transcript? They knew what they were asking for. And that wish, he had stayed more on target for the audience of teen journalists. They also said it provided a teachable moment for students. So the Journalism Academy here, or Association, believes that this was a teachable moment for students. I don't know what the teachable moment was, but, you know, that Christians can be attacked, and it's cool to do that. And then they wrote, "While some of his earlier comments were so strongly worded that they shook some of our audience members, it is never the intent of JEA or NSPA to let students get hurt during their time at our conventions." So they sound very caring there in their apology. Dan Savage also issued an apology on his blog post. He started with, this was another thing, when the students walked out, he called them a name. He called them pansy expletive, and said that was cool to see the shoe on the other foot. When they got pushed, they would back out, and he called them pansies. So he says in his apology, "I would like to apologize for describing that walkout as a pansy move. I wasn't calling a handful of students who left pansies. Of course not. 2,800 plus students, most of them Christians, stayed and listened. Just the walkout itself. But that's a distinction without a difference. Kind of like when religious conservatives tells their gay friends that they love the sin or hate the sin. They're often shocked when their gay friends get upset because, hey, they were making a distinction between the person and the person's actions. But gay people feel insulted by love the sin or hate the sin because it is insulting. Likewise, my use of pansy was insulting. It was name-calling, and it was wrong, and I apologize for saying it." So you see, even in his apology, he manages to not apologize. He manages to say, "I don't like the way I get treated sometimes, so I'm going to treat other people badly. I'm going to put the shoe on the other foot just because a minority has treated me badly." His second half of his apology about the Bible is not an apology at all. And I thought he ended with a term that we really wanted to look at. He says, "All Christians read the Bible selectively. Some read it hypocritically, and the hypocrites react very angrily when anyone has the nerve to point that out." See, I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem that we are painted with a brush that all Christians read the Bible selectively. Now, are we guilty of presuppositions? Are we guilty of bias? Sure, I can't deny that as I go into a text. My faith does inform that, but to say that we read it selectively, if there are Christians, and I know there are, reading the Bible selectively, you're wrong. It is not a selective document. It is an entire whole. It is totally encompassed in truth. It is truth. It's God's very word to us. It is the special revelation that we have here in this church age of knowing what God is, what He says, what He's done, what He will do. So to read it selectively is a problem. And so when He says, and He probably calls out Christians accurately in a lot of ways here, that Christians read the Bible selectively, we get into trouble when we read the Bible selectively. And I would say that his interpretation is also selective when it comes to reading the Bible in any way that it has to be to support the gay agenda. So that being said, Isaiah 32:6 says, "For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail." So, I'm not here to call Dan Savage a vile person. You know, we're all sinners. We've all said things that we don't mean or regret, we would like to take back. But there's a heart issue here. It says his heart will work iniquity, and that's what we've got going on. Iniquity was being worked in that auditorium that day to those high school students, because he was talking about anti-bullying. He was talking about why it was wrong to denigrate somebody else. And yet, what did he turn around and do but denigrate and insult, above all, not just adults, but young people in the audience? And I praise those that walked out in protest. He says it's to utter error against the Lord. That's what he's doing with Scripture. And then probably the most damaging thing, verse 6 says, to make empty the soul of the hungry. You know, that's what these speakers do. That's what this agenda does. It makes empty the soul of the hungry. People that would seek after God are corrupted, are poisoned, are influenced by this garbage that's being put out there. And it kills the hunger that would have been there. It subordinates God to something that he's not. He will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Everybody is thirsty. Everybody wants this fulfillment. You have to convince yourself that there's no God. That's a foolish thing to do. And to practice that on young people to achieve your agenda is a very damaging thing. This plays right into our marriage amendment that's coming up here in North Carolina to be voted on, to define what marriage is, to define that this LGBT agenda is damaging to our children, to our family. It is mean in nature. It is exclusionary in nature. And it is absolutely selfish in nature. And unfortunately, people don't like to acknowledge their sins. They want to be able to do what they want to do. And the fact of the matter is that homosexual people that are practicing homosexuality in America can do anything that they want to do. They have all the same civil liberties that we do. But please don't stand on a soapbox and talk about bullying and hypocrisy and then turn around and do the exact same thing to our young people. That would be my message to Dan Savage. So please email if you have any questions. My email is dmcmanus@bbc.gmail.com. And let's keep our eyes out and be on guard for these attacks on our faith. Have a blessed day.